Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA and iHeart Radio Station.
Good morning, Orlando. Friday morning on the 50,000-watt front porch. Welcome aboard at 6 for our very first look now at Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic on News Radio WFLA Orlando on FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still on AM 540, and on the iHeartRadio app. I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, firefighters aren't getting fired. More in 1 minute.
The Biden immigration nightmare now extends way beyond the border. And amazing polling on a Trump-Biden rematch. All in this hour of Good Morning Orlando.
6:02 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. Orange County firefighters who do not comply with a vaccine mandate for county employees will not lose their jobs. That's the word from Mayor Jerry Demings, who said those who don't comply will only receive a written reprimand.
It was never my intention to terminate anyone from our employment. Instead, my desire and goal was to increase the rate of vaccinations amongst our employees, and we have accomplished that.
In fact, 84% of Orange County employees are now vaccinated.
And the mayor really folded. We'll talk about it at 8 o'clock. And also, he's not going to be terminating any other employees beyond the firefighters. More coming up.
This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. COVID booster shots are happening for millions who received the Pfizer vaccine. The CDC signed off on a third dose just before midnight. It's for those 65 and older, people 50 to 64 with underlying medical conditions, nursing home residents, and workers at high-risk jobs. Governor Ron DeSantis, a strong supporter of monoclonal antibody treatments for COVID-19, says he's found a partial workaround for the White House's move to reduce Regeneron shipments coming to Florida. He's obtained 3,000 doses of a monoclonal from GlaxoSmithKline called Sotrovimab.
We may have to be making decisions soon about how many of the sites can remain open. We're making decisions about how many doses each hospital is going to get.
DeSantis says the state will continue to fight federal efforts to cut the supply coming to Florida.
He never stops working. Gotta love the gov.
Sam is now a hurricane. The storm has maximum sustained winds of 75 miles an hour, but is still some 1,500 miles east-southeast of the northern Leeward Islands. It's still unclear at this point whether or not Sam will threaten land. Thousands of Haitian migrants are being allowed to stay in the United States as an overflowing camp on the border is being cleared out. Morgan Chesky reports.
The Department of Homeland Security announcing 1,400 migrants have been deported, and 3,200 are in Border Patrol custody. But still no details on how many migrants were released into the United States.
About 3,100 migrants were still in the camp at Del Rio, Texas yesterday, down from around 14,000 a week ago. Those who are staying are being flown to cities around the U.S. where they have family.
Yeah, topic number one coming right up.
And a Thursday night football victory was spoiled by injury for an undefeated team.
Sam Darnold gets it done on the ground.
Darnold takes it and is in for the touchdown. With a little bit of help from his friends.
Joe Buck on NFL Network. Darnold with his second rushing touchdown of the night. He would also have 304 passing yards as the Carolina Panthers go to 3-0 on the season with a 24-9 victory over the Houston Texans, who dropped to 1-2. But that Panthers win soured by some injury concerns as running back Christian McCaffrey exited Thursday's game with a hamstring issue, and first-round pick cornerback J.C. Horn suffered what appears to be a broken foot. Matt Napolitano, Fox News.
That puts some pressure on the Bucs to win this Sunday in Los Angeles against the Rams because they are in the same division, the NFC South, with the now 3-0 Carolina Panthers.
That's the game of the weekend, both undefeated.
WFLA News time is 6:05. A giant asteroid nearly hit Earth and it was not spotted until the next day.
Gotta pick that stuff up.
That story is online at WFLAOrlando.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at WFLA Orlando. The first hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
From News Radio WFLA, this is Good Morning Orlando. Call us at 407-916-5400 or text us at 23680.
Somebody in Asteroid Watch fall asleep. What happened there, Alan?
Somebody took their eye off the ball. I don't know. I'm not sure I wouldn't prefer not to know if an asteroid was going to hit the Earth.
Yeah, only in the movies can you do anything about it, you know?
Send Bruce Willis up in a space shuttle.
Would you want to know about that, Melissa, or are you just okay that they dropped the ball and missed it?
Yeah,
I don't care. You just kind of take it as it comes, right?
Well, like you said, bud, what are we going to do about it?
It's
not
much.
Not much. Not much. Hey, in 1 hour, we got a very special guest here. We've got 1,000 of the top most influential Republican women holding a convention here in Orlando. It's the National Federation of Republican Women. And by the way, there's going to be a fireside chat with Governor DeSantis and his wife, Casey. That's all part of this. And it's going to be a fantastic weekend. We're going to find out all about it from the president of that organization 1 hour from now.
You know, I know it's cooling off, but is it really time to sit by a fire?
I was wondering, a fireside chat.
Let me tell you, yesterday, late afternoon, early evening, when I got done with the Trusco Bank show and I was going home, I sat out in the yard and that breeze was so nice.
Yeah, I was walking the dogs around the same time and it felt really good.
Yeah.
I went out this morning, not quite
not so
as
much.
Cool and a little more humid than it was last night.
But it was nice. It was still 80 degrees, but that breeze took it down it was perfect.
I heard Tom Terry on Channel 9 say something interesting yesterday. He said, this could be the earliest arrival of the dry season in memory, because as far as the eye can see, we've got the kind of weather they're forecasting for today and the weekend. You know,
hey,
it's just like all of a sudden, wham, summer's gone.
Alan, I think he's got a man crush on Tom Terry.
Yeah, it's the second time in 2 days you've mentioned Tom Terry.
My wife is bonkers for Tom Terry.
Oh, that nice deflection.
Oh.
No, it's true. It's true. He does a great job. But Linda goes crazy for Tom Terry, which really, you know, kind of makes me feel inadequate because I started out as a weatherman when we met a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm no Tom Terry.
She's moved on, apparently.
Apparently so. Yeah. We better move on, too. By the way, I think the Biden train wreck express is coming around the bend, Alan.
All right. After an update of Orlando's news, weather, and traffic, of course, that's 2 minutes away on Good Morning Orlando. It's 6:08.
Headlines now. A group of Central Florida Haitians are heading to Texas to help the Haitian migrants there. Among them, Orange County Commissioner Victoria Siplin, who says she will assist with translations. Her trip is being funded by the National Haitian American Elected Officials Network. Stay tuned for updates on our top stories every 10 minutes all morning on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, 107.7 HD3, AM 540, and the iHeart Radio app. This is News Radio WFLA Orlando.
The Biden train wreck's coming. It's happening again. Our country's going down the tubes. When will this nightmare end?
Give me a break.
Nasty, nasty Biden train wreck. There's more than one. First up on the text line, Afghanistan suddenly out of the news. How about some updates on Afghanistan? Americans left behind and Christians getting killed. You know, other radio shows of this kind, they don't give a rip what you think out there. They want to talk about what they want to talk about. But we love the smartest audience in talk radio and how engaged you are. And I'll respond to that, even though I don't have it in the show. Biden has not talked about the Americans left behind in Afghanistan for 23, now going on 24 straight days. I have nothing new for you, but what is really, really daunting and foreboding is this. The Taliban is returning to their own ways, and they are admitting they are going hardcore Sharia law. They are cracking down. There are credible widespread reports of Christians being massacred. God knows what's happening to women. you know, who are having their rights, if not their lives, snuffed out.
Yeah, they told all government women to not come in anymore. The Sharia law is very, very clear.
Yeah, that's exactly where we are, okay? We all right? We off the hook with you there, and I thank you very much for the text, Anonymous. By the way, if you want to text us, you can throw in first name in town if you want, but that's all up to you. We don't care.
Yeah, and we'll promise we won't cut your hands off as punishment either.
Absolutely. Well, if we did, maybe just maybe one.
Maybe a few, yeah.
Yeah, all right, just a few fingers, maybe. Anyway, 23680 on the text line. If you want to talk, and it's a talk show, I always say that, and Melissa gets on my case, but doggone it, I love the phones. 407-916-5400. Back to the border debacle here. Catch and release, totally out of control. Biden administration lying through their stinking teeth, all right, claiming that they are deporting these Haitians who are coming across the border in Del Rio, that they are being removed when they are actually being released, the vast majority of them, to points unknown by bus and plane throughout this country. Unvetted, unvaccinated, untested for COVID in the middle of a pandemic. And then there is the race card being played by the Democrats, and the Biden administration loves it, all in a distraction from the debacle at the border. You remember the story about the Border Patrol. They've been on horseback down there, largely they're Hispanic, for more than 100 years. It's tough terrain. Horses are the way you can get around in many areas. There were a bunch of them on horseback, Border Patrol, who were caught on video and on still shot, and they were coming up to the Haitians who were wading in from the Rio Grande River and break it into the country, and they were trying to get them to back up. They had their long reins, and all of a sudden, everybody on the Democrat side, oh, my God, look at this. We've got these guys who are, I don't know, maybe they're white, maybe they're Hispanic, but by God, the people there on the ground, it looks like they're whipping these Haitians. And, I mean, it's unbelievable. And Sharpton, all of a sudden, I've got to be there. In a moment, you will hear what happened when Sharpton tried to play the race card. You will hear Maxine try to play it as well. And what about Joe Biden? Is it time for him to visit the border? He doesn't even know where it is. It's all ahead. Headlines, a mass shooting at a grocery store in Tennessee has the store closed till further notice. A man who reportedly walked into the deli opened fire yesterday inside a Kroger. It happened in Collierville, that's just outside Memphis. Shot 13 people, one woman died. The gunman took his own life. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
From News Radio WFLA Orlando, this is Good Morning Orlando with Bud Henninger, Alan Spector, and Melissa Fox.
Wow. Black Haitians, Border Patrol, most of them are Hispanic, but I don't know, they're lighter skinned than the Haitians, so this has got to be race, and those reins have got to be whips. And by God, we're going to trump this up and distract from the Biden debacle at the border that's killing him politically. And that's what brought Al Sharpton to Del Rio, Texas, which I'm sure he couldn't have found on the map with a lot of help before yesterday. He showed up. He's used to everybody staying silent while the Reverend tells it like it is. And it didn't work out that way, and the folks didn't like it.
Del Rio is not a racist city. Del Rio is a loving, caring community. We don't want your racism in Texas. Get out of here. Nobody wants to hear your racist nonsense in Del Rio. You're a racist. Nobody wants you in Texas. Nobody wants you in Texas. Why are you not a voice for the children that have gone missing?
He compelled us to come and show our voices and our presence.
He just kept talking. He looked like he was bewildered. He was confused. He didn't know what to do.
Yeah, and if you can actually parse the words out from the angry mob who's like, you're racist, you're racist. Of course, they're Hispanic people yelling it. Yeah, you can hear him get confused. He's trying to stay on point, but what he's saying is just blather. It makes no sense.
Well, you know, he comes out of the black church, and he's expecting everybody to sit there and
testify.
Nothing but amen, Reverend. Not exactly. We don't want your racism here. No. Then there's Maxine Waters, comes out of California to play the race card against the Border Patrol agents on horseback. What she calls white cowboys, she claims were whipping black Haitians trying to enter the U.S. illegally at the edge of the Rio Grande River in Del Rio, Texas.
What the hell are we doing here? What we witness takes us back hundreds of years. What we witnessed was worse than what we witnessed in slavery.
Really?
You know, before...
Well, she was alive in the era of slavery. Oh. She goes back a long way.
Bam. Okay, so no, right before that, though, she threw Trump under the bus. Because you have to understand, the Democrats at this point are being held responsible, and they should be, for what's going on at the border. But they're trying to go, oh, it's Trump, it's this. And Maxine didn't realize that those people on horseback are actually work for the government. They're not just random folk out there just whipping people down, and they're not whipping people at all.
You know, the problem with this is when you have circumstances like Maxine Waters and Al Sharpton going down there and, you know, trying to make a big deal out of this, is that when you have actual instances of racism in this country and you talk about that, you lose credibility. You know, if you're going to just talk about everything and decide everything is divided along racial lines.
You know, honestly, sex trafficking is worse than slavery in some ways. I mean, her comparison, it's just, it makes no sense.
Outrageous. The whole thing is, and by the way, the head of the National Border Patrol Council says, listen, our people on horseback, been doing this a long time, they don't strike people, they don't whip people. Now the Biden administration has ordered an end to horseback border patrols, all right? Been going on for more than 100 years. They're investigating. They're going to try to hang these agents on horseback out to dry. Part of the great distraction here. And the head of the Border Patrol says they will be exonerated.
And he also said that they were trained to do what they're doing by the Biden administration.
What else have we got on this border debacle down there? It's a
Peter Ducey.
Oh, we'll get to him. I'm going to get to this in just a second.
Ducey.
But wait a minute. He's the White House reporter for Fox. A young guy. I mean, he is really earning his creds. He is really terrific. But wait a minute. I want to play him just to go out here in just a minute here. There's a couple of other elements here because we promised a fully loaded Biden train wreck express. And his own special envoy to Haiti, Ambassador Daniel Foote, has resigned here over the inhumane, counterproductive decision to deport thousands of Haitian refugees back to a country, Haiti, racked with violence in the wake of the presidential assassination, on its back economically as it always is, poorest country in this hemisphere, and it's also dealing with the after effects of another Syrian earthquake, and he has resigned. It was Biden's envoy. And beyond the border, the immigration nightmare that is the Biden administration and their policies, they brought these Afghans in, largely not seriously vetted, and dispersed them around the country. A couple of them up at Fort McCoy in western Wisconsin, now charged with committing serious sex crimes ranging up to rape. Oh, I think it's time for the president of the United States to go where there's a crisis. That's what presidents do, right? You got a hurricane, president shows up, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so here is Peter Ducey asking Jen Psaki about that. Let's listen.
One more. Has President Biden ever been to the southern border?
In his life?
Yes.
I will have to look back in my history books and check the times he's been to the southern border.
We have been looking all morning, and we cannot find any record of him visiting the border as president, vice president, senator, or even as a concerned citizen. Why would that be?
I can check and see when the last time or when he may have been.
Better question, where the heck is VP Harris, who's supposed to be in charge of the border?
That's a really excellent point.
Thanks. That's what
I
do.
It's interesting. Psaki always just tries to look at Ducey looks so young, you know, but he's tough. And she treats him in such a condescending way. And he always rolls over like a truck. And it's just a great show when it happens. All right. That's it. The Biden train wreck express. Oh, the politics of what's going on. The latest Trump versus Biden rematch poll next half hour. Alan?
An arrest warrant issued for Brian Laundrie. and unruly airline passengers get attention on Capitol Hill. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
Good Friday morning. We're glad you're with us on the 50,000 Watt Front Porch. Turning it over now to my co-host, Alan Spector, for a news update. We know Gabby Petito is dead, so tragically. As for her fiancé, Brian Laundry, well, you have a new development.
Yeah, an arrest warrant is out for Brian Laundry. That after a federal grand jury indicted the missing fiancé of the late Gabby Petito. Gordon Bird has more.
The indictment accuses Laundry of using a debit card and PIN numbers to steal about $1,000, presumably from his fiancée. Meantime, the search continues for Laundry in a swampy area near his home in Northport. Governor Ron DeSantis told reporters he was touched by the community's support for Gabby Petito.
Most of these people never met her, probably, but you see how it's really impacted this community.
Meantime, a law firm's Tampa office is offering a $20,000 reward for information leading to Laundry. Gordon Bird, News Radio WFLA Orlando.
More people and more hardware are joining in the search for Laundry over in Sarasota County. Northport Police Commander Joe Fassell says a total of 75 officers from 16 different agencies are now working in the Carlton Reserve.
We have some other agencies with new officers that haven't been here in the past week.
Laundry's family says he went to the reserve to hike last week, and they haven't heard from him since.
And the parents also say he left home without his phone or his wallet. Some further thoughts on that later on.
This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. A man is dead after being pulled from the Atlantic Ocean in Daytona Beach. Authorities say the 58-year-old man was pulled from the water yesterday morning near the Daytona Beach band shell. He was taken to an area hospital where he later died. His name has not been released, but he is said to be from Daytona Beach. An election audit report in Arizona is due out today. It shows President Biden won in Phoenix and the surrounding county by more votes than originally tallied. Meantime, in Texas, four counties will conduct their own audit, even though former President Trump won that state.
Oh, what about a Trump-Biden rematch? There's new polling on that for 2024, and it's coming up.
There's growing concern in Congress about the increasing numbers of unruly passengers on airline flights. Washington State Congressman Rick Larson opened a House hearing and called some of the behavior disgusting, unacceptable, and a danger to fellow passengers.
These incidents have also put the safety of frontline workers, passengers, and the nation's aviation system at risk.
Many disruptions have involved the federal mandate on masks aboard planes. Lots of college football in the Sunshine State tomorrow. 11th-ranked Florida hosts Tennessee. You can hear it on your Gator Nation station, News Radio, WFLA Orlando. Also, Florida State entertains Louisville. And Miami hosts Central Connecticut. South Florida visits 16th-ranked BYU. UCF has the weekend off. WFLA News Time is 6:34. You don't have to miss anything on Good Morning Orlando. Get caught up with our podcasts on the iHeartRadio app.
A national headline for you now. Crews in Northern California holding ground when it comes to battling the nation's largest wildfire. The Dixie Fire, 94% contained now after scorching 963,000 acres in five California counties. Idaho is battling the most fires now, including its biggest at nearly 80,000 acres. Updates at least every 10 minutes on our top stories. We do it for you all morning right here on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1. Still on FM 93.1. News Radio WFLA Orlando. And still on AM 540.
You know, we were talking about Joe Biden. I mean, everything in this administration is heading in the wrong direction, or the right direction if you want Biden and these clowns out, all right? Issue by issue. You know, whether it's foreign policy and the debacle that was the Afghanistan withdrawal and the complete ignoring now of the fate of the Americans stranded there, and friendly Afghans who helped us during our 20-year war. Biden won't even talk about it, hadn't said a word more than 3 weeks about it. And people are really, really angry. And he is losing support. Never had it among Republicans. Hemorrhaging support among independents in every poll. And that is where elections are won and lost. people whose votes are up for the grabs, who are not locked into any party, who are connected to what's going on, and who listen and who think and vote accordingly. He's getting killed among independents and in some of the key states. As you look to 2022 and 2024, like Iowa, he's got like 37% support in Iowa. Wow. First caucus state when you look ahead. Now, among Republicans, of course, he never had any support, but among Democrats, he's losing support as well. He's in the news all the time. And none of the news is good. And it is beginning to take its toll big time. I mean, you look at the situation on the foreign front here, that horrendous speech at the United Nations about how he's offended our allies. He screwed France on the submarine deal with Australia and the Brits. He never let our allies with people in Afghanistan know about his rapid withdrawal plan at the end there so they could get their people out. They're really burned by this, the Germans, the Brits, and others, okay? On the domestic front, you got that border debacle now, making headlines every day, and nobody can support. Even the Democrats, even the Biden-loving media is falling away from him here. You look at inflation rearing its head, that everything we buy, the price is going through the roof. He wants to spend trillions more on his left-wing social programs. He's become a puppet of AOC and Bernie Sanders and the extreme left of the Democrat Party. And inflation is going up. We simply don't have enough money, and we are printing more to try to cover the nut. And that is a prescription for runaway inflation. After under Trump, we had just completely stable prices, and pre-pandemic, everything in this country was better than it had ever been. And people are all of a sudden longing for Trump. And a Rasmussen Reports poll is out looking at how people would react to the prospect of a Trump-Biden rematch in 2024. Rasmussen's got a good track record on presidential polling. Are you ready for this? And I want you to react to this. Would you want Trump to run? Do you think he could get the nomination? Do you think he could win the presidency? That's my question to you. 407-916-5400. Text line is 23680. Here's what the Rasmussen Reports poll shows. Should Trump choose to run again in 2024? He would obliterate Joe Biden by 10 points, 51 to 41. Trump would also, if Kamala Harris took over, Biden out by 25th Amendment, or just because he's just too old and senile to possibly mount a campaign for re-election, he would beat Harris even more handily, 52 to 39, a 13-point landslide. Now, it's interesting. Rasmussen also asked people whether or not they thought it would be a good idea for Trump to run again. And Melissa, this was a lot closer. A plurality only of 48% said yes, 44% said no. And Trump, you know, has been squelched by social media, big tech. He's out of the limelight. He's out of power.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Biden's got all the power, but he's so misused it and abused it and shown how out of the mainstream he is and how incompetent he is that the polling numbers are horrendous. What about a Trump and a Biden rematch or Trump-Harris? How do you see it? I want to get the Fox and Allen in on this, but this is audience participation. Tell me what you think of the poll and about a rematch. Do you want Trump back? Could he actually win it? 407-916-5400, text line 23680. Headlining this disturbing story locally with a happy ending, a poodle that was stuffed in a pillowcase and thrown in a dumpster is being nursed back to health now. Officials with the Orlando County Animal Services say that some good Samaritans yesterday witnessed two people put the dog in the dumpster and immediately sprang into action to rescue it. Anyone with information about the suspects should call Crimeline at 800-423-TIPS. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories here on Good Morning Orlando.
Stay ahead of the storm with Operation Stormwatch on News Radio WFLA Orlando.
They get these guys. I'm in for a little Old Testament eye for an eye justice here, Melissa. You know, put them in a pillowcase, put them in a dumpster. Lock it up. I'm sorry. What a disgusting story that is. So what about the Rasmussen poll, Fox? 10 points. Trump over Biden in a rematch in 2024 by 13 if it's Harris.
I think a potholder would do better than against Biden, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? Yeah. Really. Yeah, I mean, I see it. I don't know. Trump's did good stuff for us before. There's a lot of controversy, but the last 8 months with Biden have been hell. So I think a lot of people's minds have been changed, even those who were like, well, I don't like the guy. He's a criminal. You know, grab her by the pee. Whatever. He still did some really good stuff, both on the foreign front as well as here locally in the United States.
Give Trump an opportunity to make some history, too. I am reading something I'd never thought about. If Trump goes up against Biden and beats him, he would become the first defeated president ever to win back the White House in a rematch of his former opponent. That's never happened in this country, which I had not thought of before.
That's new. I'd like to quote the poet LL Cool J by saying, don't call this a comeback.
Okay. Len, you have a little bit of an acquaintance with Mr. Biden. Welcome in from Oviedo. You're on the 50,000-watt front porch with Budman, Alan, and Melissa, listening intently along with everybody else. What you got, Len?
It's interesting, Bud. It's interesting that a lot of people don't know the disease from the symptoms, okay? Uncle Joe is just a symptom. The real disease, and you can fight with this, is the Democratic National Committee. Where do people like AOC get $35,000 for some harebrained soiree to show other American people how wonderful they are? Where do they get that money from? What, do they get a part-time job?
Says on the screen, you told Melissa that you know something about Biden back in all the way back to 1980.
Well, then all you had to do is live long enough like you and I did. Bad guy, I sweated to go to law school. Bad guy cheated. You know what that does to people who have to work? I worked for 15 years to go to law school. That sucker went ahead and just cheated. That's enough to make you want to throw up.
Let me ask you a question here. I mean, he's plagiarism, the whole thing. We know his history, all right? And we know he didn't draw flies in about three attempts to become president, and they only became president, if you believe the election results, because so many people were just tired of Trump and the way he handled things and the way he spoke and the tweets and the whole thing and how tough he was and the way he handled the pandemic in some cases, and that's how come we wound up with Biden, and now we have buyer's remorse. What about it? Do you want Trump to run again in 2024? If so, do you think he could win it?
Well, I'll tell you right now, my belief, you're going to watch the midterms, and you got to remember, all the Democrats have been doing for 100 years.
Hang on, answer my question, Len. Do you want Trump to want to get run again or not?
He's going to run, but it's going to get stolen again.
I got it. All right, thank you, Len. Wow, I hate the thought of that. Alan, what about a rematch here? Well, Rasmussen says Trump beats Biden by 10, Harris by 13.
The poll results don't surprise me. But I'm just wondering, are we now embracing polls here?
I never embraced it. I said a potholder could do better in a poll.
We've had a lot of skepticism about polls over the years.
Well, it depends on the poll. There's some I think have no credibility. I think there are others that do have credibility. The Fox doesn't believe any of them.
None of them. Nope. But I will tell you this much, and the texter echoes what I was thinking, that Trump should not run in 2024. The country will be such a mess by then. There's no way of turning it around, and then he would get blamed for it.
A lot of pro-Trump texts here. We need Trump desperately. Make America great again. Let's Trumpify America. Trump 2024. But another says, Good luck. Trump will be in prison by 2024. Still under investigation, finances, New York, all that.
That could be a stumbling block. Difficult to run for president from prison.
Well, you could make some history if you could win it from there. Right?
Yeah.
By the way, and you were in the newsroom working for the 7 o'clock, and we'll...
That's what he was doing.
Let you tell us what's coming up in a moment here, but I am reading that there's never been a president who lost and then won a rematch with the person who beat him. It's never happened before. That'd be interesting. Make some presidential history there. What else do you see on the text line, Melissa?
I say Trump should run again. Go Trump. Yes, we need 100% a new and strong leader who's not afraid to ruffle feathers to protect the citizens of this country. Hey, here's what I don't get, and this goes back to the fact that the Republican Party is either complicit in the swamp or totally wussified. Every one of them should be on TV and radio in their districts enumerating what a disaster this regime is and racking up the campaign contributions.
Speaking of the Republicans, the National Federation of Republican Women are holding their convention here. About 1,000 top Republican women leaders from across the country in attendance. And we're going to talk to the president of that organization about what's going on this weekend. That's coming up at 7:12. Lots to talk about here, and we will continue talking for the next 2 hours. But we'll turn it over to Alan now because news is coming.
This development overnight, the CDC approving booster shots for some, and a team remains undefeated after NFL Thursday Night Football. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together. In just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando, it is 6:58.
WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA, an iHeart radio station.
Good morning, Orlando. Top of the morning to you here on a Friday at 7 as we update you once again on Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic on News Radio WFLA Orlando on FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still on AM 540 and on the iHeartRadio app. I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, booster shots okayed for some of us. More in 1 minute.
Big convention of more than 1,000 top Republican women in Orlando. We are talking to the president of their organization. Live next on Good Morning Orlando.
7:01 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. The CDC is joining the FDA in approving COVID vaccine booster shots for some at-risk people.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention late Thursday endorsed Pfizer COVID vaccine booster shots for people 65 and older, people with health troubles, and for those otherwise healthy frontline workers whose jobs may put them at risk for infection. A panel advising the CDC had originally voted no on giving boosters to frontline workers, but CDC Director Rochelle Walensky reversed that. She said that move put the CDC decision in line with the booster shot authorization decision made by the Food and Drug Administration earlier this week. Jill Nato, Fox News.
This news is brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. Orange County Mayor Jerry Deming says it was never his intention to fire any county employees for not getting a COVID vaccine. Instead, Deming says they could get a reprimand. Firefighter Jorge Hernandez tells Fox 35 he's relieved, but still concerned about the impact of a reprimand.
Most of us had never been in trouble, and then this affects possible promotional opportunities. No longer hearing that termination makes us sleep a little bit better at night, but ultimately it doesn't satisfy us.
The mayor says his ultimate goal was to get employees vaccinated, and as of now, 84% have gotten their shots.
We asked earlier in the week whether Mayor Demings would dare to start firing firefighters and other employees. We have the answer. We'll talk about it in 1 hour.
Governor Ron DeSantis says he's come up with a workaround as the feds redirect supplies of monoclonal antibodies to other states.
The state of Florida has been able to acquire an additional 3,000 doses of the monoclonal antibody Sotrovimab, which is manufactured by GlaxoSmithKline.
In Tampa, DeSantis said the state may soon have to ration monoclonal treatments for COVID-19 because of the Biden administration's decision to cut supplies coming to Florida. The House is about to make history today when it votes to legalize abortion nationwide. Democrats are expected to pass a bill Although there's virtually no chance it passes the Senate, this will be the first attempt to codify the Supreme Court's 1973 Roe v. Wade decision, guaranteeing a woman's right to end her pregnancy.
You got it right. This is a dead-end road in the U.S. Senate.
The Carolina Panthers remain undefeated after three games. Sam Darnold rushed for two touchdowns to lead Carolina to a 24-9 win over the Texans on Thursday Night Football at Houston. Darnold was also impressive with his arm, completing 23 of 34 passes for 304 yards.
We always knew what kind of team we had. It was just about going out there on game day and executing, and we've been doing a good job so far. We just got to, you know, keep taking it one week at a time.
And not all was great for the Panthers, as running back Christian McCaffrey exited in the first half and was quickly ruled out with a hamstring injury. WFLA News Time is 7:05. A dad panics when the bug his daughter is playing with turns out to be a giant tarantula. Watch the video online.
I'm good.
At WFLAOrlando.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at WFLA Orlando. The second hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
News Radio WFLA Orlando is available everywhere with the iHeartRadio app. Now number one for podcasting. News Radio WFLA Orlando, an iHeartRadio station.
Thank God it's Friday! Great to have you with us on the show, the Budman, Alan, and the Fox. And no, Alan, you watched the tarantula video. Melissa and I are sitting one out.
No.
But there's a lot of other great stuff on the website, WFLAOrlando.com, where our three-hour broadcast is your podcast, and the podcast is the broadcast.
Yeah.
And everything is there for you to see that we do all the time, and you can get it 24/7. My blog is there. Alan's Elsewhere episodes, which are just such fun, and there'll be two of them coming up in this show at 7:35 and 8:35. They're all there, and you can go back in time for the Elsewheres you missed, right?
Every Elsewhere I've ever done is on WFLAOrlando.com.
You know, the titles are fun, too. Like, yesterday's title was Connor Can't Sing and Collins Can't Dance in Elsewhere.
Very clever. Melissa takes care of actually posting that for me.
Yeah, it's good stuff, and there's an opportunity to win all kinds of cool things like a Rhine River cruise.
Oh, yeah, go to Germany. Oh, I can't do that. I'm not allowed.
They
also have the haunted Halloween stuff. We got and the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, the Christmas. Yeah, I mean.
Really, already?
Yeah, we got tickets available for that, everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just go ahead and check it out often.
Yeah, they're playing Amway Center coming up, I think, about a week before Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah, well, we are 3 months from Christmas Eve. Wow. Here we are on the 24th of September. The Republican women are in town. The National Federation of Republican Women holding their convention. And the president of the organization is going to be joining us and Shock It live on the 50,000-watt front porch with a lot to talk about. So let's get going.
Yeah, that'll happen after an update of Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in just 2 minutes. Now, 7:07 on Good Morning Orlando.
FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, 107.7 HD3, AM 540, and the iHeart Radio app. This is News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Good morning, Orlando. Bud Hedinger, Alan Spector, and Melissa Fox. And we're very excited about welcoming a very special guest to the 50,000-watt front porch on Good Morning Orlando. Her name is Ann Schockett, and she is the president of the National Federation of Republican Women, and they are holding this weekend their convention at the J.W. Marriott Hotel in our fair city here, and it is one of the largest national gatherings of Republicans, let alone just women, in the course of the year. We're heading into the 2022 political season. Lots of issues to talk about. And welcome to our show. Thanks for coming on this morning and welcome to Orlando.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, thank you so much. It's a beautiful welcome. We are thrilled to be here in Orlando. And thank you so much for inviting me to participate on your show.
Well, tell us a little bit about your organization, the National Federation of Republican Women, and what goes on in this convention this weekend.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, first of all, as you said, this is the National Federation of Republican Women. Our website is www.nfrw.org. We were founded 83 years ago, and we are the largest grassroots Republican women's organization in the entire United States, with tens of thousands of active members in local clubs throughout this nation. We build women leaders. We energize our communities with important programming and dealing with important issues, and we are the ones that help keep America strong.
So how about a few highlights? You've got an A-list of guests here. It's terrific. You got the governor and the first lady coming in for a fireside chat. Give us a little bit of a flavor of what happens this weekend.
Oh, absolutely. I'm thrilled to do that. This is our 41st. Biannual convention, and we are thrilled to be in sunny, spectacular Orlando. We have over 1,000 women out of our 63,000 women nationwide who are here in Florida, and they're here not because we are a very strong sisterhood, but because they see the direction of our country. They want to take action and take back America. NFRW really is the perfect place for women who want to get involved. We have a fantastic lineup, as you said, who are here to talk to us. And you know why? Because they really recognize the value of our women. Our women are leaders in their communities. As a matter of fact, the theme of our entire convention is launching leaders. We're on the doorstep of NASA and the rocket launches, so that was a perfect theme. We have over a dozen major national Republican leaders and so many experts in their areas. And included in that, as you said, are the governor, Ron DeSantis, and First Lady Casey DeSantis. We have Tim Scott, United States Senator from South Carolina. We have Governor Kristi Noem from South Dakota. Mm-hmm. Some of the others include Governor Mike Huckabee, Congressman Mike McCall from Texas. Many of you have been seeing him a lot of Mike McCall and these other people online.
Oh, it's a wonderful lineup, Ann. It really is.
It's fabulous.
Ann and I got to tell you, Alan and Melissa and myself as well have some things we want to ask you about beyond the lineup here. So let me turn it over to my co-host, Alan.
Yeah.
Hello,
again,
Alan.
Hi, Ann. Again, we're talking to Ann Schockett, who's the president of the National Federation of Republican Women, meeting in Orlando this weekend. And, Ann, I wanted to ask you about a big issue that's been in the news the past few weeks, the controversial abortion law passed in Texas, signed by the Republican governor there. And we have a Republican lawmaker here in Florida who's introduced similar legislation. And my question to you is, do you think this issue, abortion, is one that could cost Republicans female votes?
Yes, and this is a matter of states' rights. We are a republic, and we believe that each state has the right to make the laws that they see fit. And this is what we believe. And this is how we run our National Federation of Republican Women. We are a grassroots up organization. We have local clubs, and we have our states. And we abide by their state's bylaws, but of course we also have national bylaws, and they are chartered by us. So this is a matter of states' rights.
But you do see it potentially as costing some votes. I mean, it's the ultimate hot-button issue. We know that.
This is a hot-button issue to a certain extent, but there are many people who agree and disagree on both sides. But I want to tell you something. Every issue that is taking place in this country is a woman's issue. The crisis at the border, the economy, the fact that we have a COVID situation, we have foreign domestic security.
Ann, I got to tell you, you make a great, great point, and we're going to pick up on it here in just a moment with Ann Schockett, who is the president of the National Federation of Republican Women, right after a quick break for an update on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. Good morning, Orlando. Headline, something you'll want to know if you're headed for Costco this weekend. They're announcing at Costco purchase limitations on such items as toilet paper, paper towels, bottled water, and some cleaning products. During an earnings call, the CFO did not specify how many of each item customers will be able to purchase, but the new limits on products are being prompted by something we're seeing a lot in industry, delays in getting products delivered. Updates at least every 10 minutes on our top stories here on Good Morning Orlando.
From News Radio WFLA Orlando, this is Good Morning Orlando with Bud Henninger, Alan Spector, and Melissa Fox.
Welcome back. It's Good Morning Orlando. Sisters are doing it for themselves, bringing us back. Ann Schockett from the National Federation of Republican Women on the phone right now with us. There's a convention going on, folks, and it is looking pretty cool. Launching Leaders, you guys are here in Orlando, and I've got a question for you, and I've been looking at the schedule, and you guys have it massively packed with great conferences and workshops. Tell me about the CRT workshop and what that is all about.
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. These women work so very, very hard every day of the year, 24/7, and they are involved on the front lines of the issues that affect us on a daily basis. The Critical Race Theory Workshop, I have to let you know that our clubs throughout the nation are on the front lines, battling what's happening in our school, battling the leftist agenda. As a matter of fact, one of the leaders, I have to say, is Loudoun County in Virginia. I know that you must have heard about that. We actually have the treasurer, Carly Copeland, who's going to be part of that panel. We have six panels this year, more than we've had in years. And one of the people you actually know on this particular panel, who is Byron Donalds, Congressman, I believe, of the 19th District. We also have Angela Morabito, Will and Francis Presley Rice, co-founder of the Yoakum African American History Association. What is happening in our schools is catastrophic. And what we're doing is we're giving our women the information, the tools to take back to their communities, to their states, throughout the entire nation. We have 47 states who are part of this organization, so we can give everyone the fact as to how to fight back on this leftist agenda.
You know, wait, quick and follow up. What states are not involved and how do we get them involved?
Oh, absolutely. We have we are looking still to work with Vermont, North Dakota, and I have to say Massachusetts. I know you have one of the Massachusetts, but we're getting very close on that. But we have 47 very, very actively engaged organizations. And that does not mean that people from those particular three states cannot join. We have national member-at-large memberships as well.
You know, you have about 1,000 or more Republican women leaders in town for your convention of the National Federation of Republican Women. You're the president, Ann Schockett. The Democrats will tell you that there are far more women in power among the Democrats than among the Republican Party in Congress, et cetera, and far more opportunities for women. What would you say to that criticism?
Well, I would have to laugh right now, because if you took a look at the election 2020, and by the way, we had an unprecedented number of strike forces throughout the entire nation. And despite COVID, despite all the challenges, I personally was there with my women on the ground. We were on the ground with our strike forces, and we helped get in 31 new Republican women into the House and hundreds more on the local and state elections. I think women more than ever are realizing how the leftist agenda and how the Democrats who have embraced the radical fringe of their party are affecting their lives and their families' lives, and they are stepping up to the plate. We have campaign management schools. We have all types of seminars. We are educating them. We're empowering, and we are not only that, we're getting them to the finish line, and we're crossing them over. So you are going to see more and more women actually running for election.
Oh, I love it. Hey, for more information on what's going on this weekend, Launching Leaders, go to nfrw.org. It's right there across their front splash page. And I got a question for you here about just a couple of things we were talking about before you came on. There's a Rasmussen poll out there that says that Trump would win if he ran again in 2024 against Biden.
Against Biden, yeah.
Your thoughts?
Well, I think that's an absolute possibility. There are hundreds of millions of people who really support his administration, the successes that he had. It's a long way to 2024, and as you three know so very well, every day is like a lifetime in politics. But right now, we are focused on 2021 and the 2022 elections first. We are educating our women. We are out there to show that we mean business. And hopefully, we will have as successful an administration coming up in the next presidential as we had before President Biden moved into the White House.
Got a final question.
Temporarily, I may say.
Final question for you. We got a fantastic governor who's definitely presidential timber, Ron DeSantis. He and the First Lady of Florida, Casey DeSantis, are going to be at the convention holding a fireside chat. Sounds like something I haven't heard of since FDR. Tell us what that'll be all about. We got 30 seconds.
Well, I wish I knew the content. I do not know, but we have a welcoming night ceremony tonight. I will be welcoming them myself. We'll have well over 1,100 people attending that particular event, and I am interested to see what particular objectives they have during this wonderful fireside chat. That was something that they suggested, and we were thrilled. We are just so honored to have the first family of Florida join us and kick off this exciting convention.
It's been an honor to have you here, the president of the National Federation of Republican Women. Ann Schockett, big convention at the J.W. Marriott in Orlando all weekend. Have a great time. We back ordered the best Orlando weather just for you. Enjoy it, Ann, and thanks for coming on the show.
I appreciate it. Have a wonderful day, and I'll be listening to you from now on. You're one of my major stations now.
We like to hear that. God bless you and everybody who's in town with your organization. We appreciate having you with us this morning. All right, Alan, we got news coming up. What's up?
The missing fiancé of Gabby Petito, now the subject of an arrest warrant. And could the federal government be headed for a shutdown? Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together and elsewhere in just 2 minutes. 7:28 on Good Morning Orlando.
Good Friday morning, halfway through our show here, and we know this week we learned that Gabby Petito's body was found. She's gone. The whereabouts of her fiancé, unknown, but there are developments, and that's where Alan begins the news update for you.
But an arrest warrant is out for missing Florida man Brian Laundrie. We get more from Katie Beck.
A federal arrest warrant has been issued for Brian Laundrie after a grand jury indictment. Investigators now 5 days into the massive manhunt.
The indictment involves charges that Laundrie used Petito's credit card following her disappearance. He has not been seen in more than a week after his fiancée, Gabby Petito, turned up dead last Sunday in Wyoming. The FBI, along with multiple law enforcement agencies, continues to search for Laundrie in the Carlton Reserve in Sarasota County. Governor Ron DeSantis is weighing in on the continuing search for Brian Laundrie, saying the state is helping out and ready to do more to find him.
We need justice in this case. This is somebody who, this beautiful young girl, and to just see her murdered like that, and we need answers 100%.
DeSantis says he's impressed by the way Gabby Petito's death has galvanized people in the city of Northport, even though most residents had never met her. This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
A poodle that was stuffed in a pillowcase and thrown in a dumpster is being nursed back to health. Officials with the Orange County Animal Services say some Good Samaritans yesterday witnessed two people put the dog in the dumpster and immediately sprang into action to rescue it. Anyone with information about the suspect should call Crime Line at number 800-423-TIPS.
Boy, it's just a miracle that there were eyes on that scene at that moment to save that dog. God bless him.
Always unimaginable that people would treat an innocent animal like that.
Yeah.
The House committee investigating January's Capitol attack is issuing its first subpoenas for senior advisors to former President Trump, will have to answer questions next month during a deposition. The committee wants to know what Trump was doing before, during, and after the riot. Federal departments and agencies are being told to prepare for a possible government shutdown.
That's what the White House said, because the government runs out of money on September the 30th without a congressional agreement to extend funding. Press Secretary Jen Psaki said the advisory is normal and responsible due to uncertainty about funding past September 30th. Psaki said the White House is doing everything possible to avoid a shutdown. Mark Mayfield, News Radio WFLA, Orlando.
And we're now watching a hurricane. Hurricane Sam formed overnight about 1,500 miles east-southeast of the northern Leeward Islands. Top winds are 75 miles an hour. Don't know yet if it's a threat to land.
Stay out to sea, Sam. I hope so. Looks like it will.
WFLA news time is 7:34. Elsewhere. Rapper Cardi B is branching out.
If it's up, then it's up, then it's up, then it's stuck. If it's up, then it's up, then it's up, then it's stuck. Hey. Up, then it's up. If it's up, then
Cardi
it's
B is teaming with Starco Brands to launch a vodka-infused whipped cream. It's called Whip Shots.
Ow.
According to reports, the whipped cream will be a non-dairy product that will not require refrigeration. In a statement, Cardi said she's excited to be partnering with Starco Brands. Whip Shots will be available in stores and online later this year.
Well, it's preserved with alcohol, you know? It's not going to go bad on you.
Yeah.
A worthy successor to Jell-O Shots, guys? What do you think?
I think it's a topper.
You know?
Oh, yeah. It will be that.
Just in time for Thanksgiving. It goes so nice on that pumpkin pie.
You ain't kidding.
Hit me with a whip shot, would you? This episode of Elsewhere is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away. Michael Jackson's jewel-encrusted glove is helping to pay for COVID vaccines in a West African country. The Department of Justice said Monday that nearly $27 million was seized from the vice president of Equatorial Guinea, who's been accused of money laundering. As part of his settlement agreement, the vice president was forced to sell his Malibu mansion and his Michael Jackson memorabilia, which included a bejeweled glove worth $275,000. The money seized will be used mostly to buy COVID vaccines for Equatorial Guinea, where three-fourths of the population lives in poverty.
What an amazing story.
Yeah.
How about that?
And finally, lock your doors and your fridges. A thief dubbed the Sandwich Bandit is on the loose in Oklahoma.
Ah!
Cleveland and Woodward County authorities say the suspect, who they believe is 27-year-old Andrew Earls, is connected to at least 30 break-ins in Woodward County alone. The Cleveland County Sheriff's Office says Earls will break into your home and he'll eat your food. And then he'll sit there and he'll drink your beer. So don't say I didn't warn you. The Sandwich Bandit on the loose.
I mean, he chows down on sandwiches. That's his preferred... food, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
I swear,
wow.
This guy reminds me of something from history. Oh, wait, the Earl of Sandwich.
Yes, Andrew Earls, the Earls of Sandwich.
Got it. Yes, nice job, Fox.
Find more on these stories on the Good Morning Orlando page at WFLAOrlando.com and listen to the Elsewhere podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Just look for Elsewhere. With Alan Spector.
Want to be a winner here on a Friday morning? You ever watch 60 Minutes on CBS? Got a sound judgment question about that show that could win you free tickets to a really exciting Orlando attraction that more and more people are enjoying, and you're going to go on us. If you know something about 60 Minutes, you need to call right now. First-timers, welcome. Folks who haven't won in a while, we're opening up the 50,000-watt front porch for sound judgment here. Let's play the game. Call in at 407-916-5400. 407-916-5400. Before everybody grabs your line, got to be quick, and we'll play the game right after this. An update on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in a quick 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando. Headlining a big college football weekend on the gridiron tomorrow, our 11th-ranked Florida Gators host Tennessee. Pregame on WFLA, 4 p.m. Saturday, kickoff at 7. FSU entertains Louisville, seeking its first win, Seminoles are. Miami hosting Central Connecticut, South Florida visiting 16th-ranked BYU. Oh, UCF? They have the weekend off. Updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories here on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1. Still on FM 93.1. News Radio WFLA Orlando. And still on AM 540.
You ever watch 60 Minutes? This is a slam dunk question for you on Sound Judgment. Could win you tickets to a really cool Orlando attraction that more and more people are enjoying. And you could be among them on us. Call now, 407-916-5400. Got a line open, 407-916-5400. Let's go. For today's Sound Judgment game, indeed, we focus on this date, September 24th, a landmark date in television news history. The date the long-running CBS News magazine show 60 Minutes aired for the very first time. Listen to some sound from that first-ever show, then use your Sound Judgment to tell me this. Who was the President of the United States when Americans heard this on the first episode of 60 Minutes?
Good evening. This is 60 Minutes. It's a kind of a magazine for television. We realize, of course, that new approaches are not always instantly accepted.
We'll see. I'm Mike Wallace.
We will indeed. I'm Harry Reasoner.
Tick-tock, tick-tock. We heard that for the first time on this date. Some years ago, who was the president back then? Gary, you're first up on Sound Judgment. Welcome aboard. Good luck.
Nixon.
No, not too far off, though. There's an open line. Grab it. You can still win those tickets. 407-916-5400. It was not Nixon. Josh, who was the president when 60 Minutes came on this date for the first time?
Johnson.
Yep, LBJ. Yep, it was September 24th. 1968, and I was watching with Lady Bird from the White House, and you're our winner, and here's what you've won, Josh.
Hey, Josh, you've got a four-pack of tickets to go to the Great Escape Room in downtown Orlando. Now, here's the deal. If you don't escape, you have to listen to us 24 hours a day. We'll pump in elsewhere. Okay, podcast is 24/7. That's what happens. Usually you're given 2 hours to get out of the escape room. But again, you're on your own here. for more information or to book your own party, if you will, thegreatescaperoomorlando.com.
You said your dad was a huge 60 Minutes fan, right, Melissa?
Yeah, he really was.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny to listen to that open now. It was Harry Reasoner and Mike Wallace,
yeah,
the two hosts. Eventually, it got to the point where it took about 20 minutes of the 60 minutes to introduce the correspondence.
I know it. Those two guys did everything. And, you know, they had to start adding to the cast. I'll tell you why it happened like this. Because they overworked Mike Wallace so much. And he used to tell a story. He's gone now. But he said that he was so strung out covering stories that he phoned back in to the producer, and who asked, "Where are you?" And he said, "I have no idea." He didn't know where he was. He was just so frazzled.
I think Morley Safer was the first one to join the original two, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that may be right. Steve Crofton, a guy I broke into the business with, joined them not too long after that. He used to be a reporter at the station where I started up in Syracuse, New York, Steve Croft.
Yeah. And then they had like Christian Amanpour and Oprah Winfrey. Yep. And
Leslie Stahl, who's still
Leslie's there.
There,
yep. And then, of course, Andy Rooney. Did you ever wonder?
Yeah.
Andy Rooney. Yeah. He and I went to the same college. And it so happened that we would have the same reunion years, okay? Very, very different in age. But Andy Rooney was there, and everybody said he was just a curmudgeon when he was 20 years old, mm-hmm, and it only got worse.
Wow.
You know, and I tried to say hello to him, and he completely blew me off in the beer tent at Colgate. Just blew me off.
And if you've ever been blown off in a beer tent, you know how painful that can be.
You ever wonder why I won't talk to people? It's because of people like you, bud.
Maybe he couldn't see you through his eyebrows.
At that point, they were like, you know, down to his chin. Ryan, right now, this national headline, a grocery store in Tennessee staying closed till further notice after a mass shooting there yesterday. A man who reportedly worked in the deli opened fire inside a Kroger. This happened in extreme West Tennessee, just outside Memphis, in the town of Collierville. The guy shot 13 people, one woman dead. The gunman took his own life. Updates at least every 10 minutes on our top stories here on Good Morning Orlando.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays 3 till 5 p.m., News Radio WFLA, Orlando.
Good morning, Orlando. Bud Hedinger, Alan Spector, Melissa Fox, and you here on the 50,000 Watt Front Porch. It's the Friday edition of Good Morning Orlando, heading into a fabulous, beautiful weekend. The weather has broken. The long, hot summer seems behind us on the first week of autumn, and it's going to be just magnificent.
You know, I was out walking my dachshunds about 8 o'clock last night and enjoying the breeze. I know, Melissa, you were out as
gorgeous.
Well.
Oh. Just gorgeous.
And I was thinking, oh, this is perfect. And I said, I hope when I get up early in the morning to walk those dogs again, it's just as nice. And it was not.
No.
It was warmer and more humid again, but not as bad as it has been.
Yeah, it took a little bit of the edge off. Last night, though, it was absolutely beautiful. I just sat in the yard, and I was like, just don't let me get up by skeeters and get up by that. But other than that, oh, the wind. Oh,
yeah, a big break in the humidity is forecast, you know, and we're going to really enjoy it, and it's just going to be the best of Central Florida. This awful Florida-based story about Gabby Petito's body was found out in Wyoming. She's gone, and her fiancé, Brian Laundrie, his status, his whereabouts, unknown. I'll tell you why. I believe I'm going to be shown to be right, and I take no joy in this. I think he's committed suicide in that swamp where they're aggressively looking in Sarasota County.
Yeah,
they've redoubled their efforts over there.
A lot of people do think suicide is going to be the ultimate to answer to this.
I got to say, that's a wimpy way of going about things. But I still got to wonder with the neighbors and the packing of the Mustang and all these questionable things.
You still think he's somewhere?
I think
way
he was,
away
yeah.
from
he
here.
He could have
right?
had a boat hidden in the reserve yeah. and a lot of gasoline and out of there.
I'll tell you why I think he did himself in here.
He's a wimp.
Because of this item that is now being reported, I think CNN. Was reporting it early this morning, maybe before anybody else. But at any rate, the parents of Brian Laundrie are saying that he left home for the last time they saw him with no wallet and no cell phone. It says a couple of things to me. If he was going to try and get as far away as he could get, two things he would absolutely take would be the wallet and the cell phone. The fact that he did showed me he believed he had no plans, no future, and he wasn't going far.
Well, I got to question credibility of Brian Laundrie's parents, who've been far less than forthcoming up to this point.
Well, why would they just throw that out there? What's the benefit to them to lie about that?
Well,
throw
you know,
people off or something?
My whole thing about not believing this is a suicide is why would Brian Laundrie go through this elaborate ruse of disappearing
right,
and
right.
hiding? And are the parents just contributing to this with this, you know, this confusing statement?
I want to poke holes in your cell phone and car keys theory. Was that
wallet?
Yeah, wallet and cell phone.
The parents say neither.
A survivalist. He's a survivalist. He knows how to survive. He doesn't need either of those items.
Well, he's a hiker, but he's not exactly a survivalist.
Okay.
No,
well,
he's not. Who said he was a survivalist?
A lot of people have said that. Plus, he spent most of his time in the Everglades down there, so he obviously knows his way around things.
You still think he's... How far away do you think he is?
Venezuela.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Really?
Mm-hmm. There's been sightings.
What, has he joined the Maduro regime down there? What? There have been sightings in Venezuela?
Sure.
No kidding. How about that? Mm-hmm.
Boy, first Baker County and now Venezuela.
Right. It could happen.
On the deer cam up in the panhandle, but apparently not, right?
Yeah, a guy came forward and said, yeah, that was that's actually me on the old deer cam.
It was you that did that? Oh, he said that? Yeah, he's like, I was in the woods.
Oh, is that right? The guy has said, that's me, not Brian. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
Well, we'll see. Anyway, I mean, you know, it's all speculation on our part, but every once in a while we have enough time to kick back and just kind of share some of our thoughts, kind of what the 50,000 Watt Front Porch is all about. If you want to weigh in and tell us on the text line what you think the status of Brian Laundrie is and whether you think what we're saying is making any sense or you've got your own better ideas, 23680, first name in town, always welcome. Florida Gators came close to beating number one Alabama last weekend.
I was surprised at that. I thought it'd be over in about 10 minutes, and it looked early like it was going to be. They were down 21-3 in the first quarter.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they almost did win it, and now they have another shot at Tennessee, which used to be a great rival, not what they were. Now coached by the guy who bolted from UCF, Josh Heupel, right?
Right.
And that'll be interesting. The pregame is tomorrow on your Gator Nation station, WFLA, at 4 p.m., with kickoff at 7 o'clock tomorrow night.
Got some ball butt.
Yeah. What's going on WFLAOrlando.com?
Oh, my
Melissa?
God, what's going on? Oh,
you are better connected to our website, and you have a lot to do with putting it up there, what people get to see. What do you want to highlight?
What should I highlight today? How about the Florida news and the weird news and the national news? We are popping stories out all the time. I mean, it seems like every couple of minutes we're updating or putting up new news stories. I think you are responsible for some of that, Alan.
I'm not going to be blamed for anything.
No. I mean, it's complimentary.
Yeah, well, it's a team effort.
Okay,
throughout the state. The Florida News Network. We are part of that.
Yep.
And we work together and post these stories on the website. And we have national connections as well, who also contribute to those stories.
Yeah, yep. So everything's fresh, constantly being updated, WFLAOrlando.com.
You bet. Our podcasts are there of every single show and good stuff. My blog, sources for every story we talk about. News coming up at the top of the hour, Alan.
Orange County's mayor says nobody's getting fired over vaccines. And an NFL team remains undefeated after Thursday night football. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando. It is 7:58.
WFLF Pine Hills Orlando. WMGF HD3 Mount Dora Orlando. News Radio WFLA and iHeart Radio Station.
Good morning, Orlando. On this beautiful Friday morning at 8, we welcome you aboard just in time for our latest check now on Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic on News Radio WFLA Orlando on FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still on AM 540, and on the iHeart Radio app. I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, firefighters are not getting fired. More in 1 minute.
We'll talk about that as Deming's caves, and does a sheriff's deputy deserve to be fired over his arrest of a sex offender? All ahead on Good Morning Orlando.
8:02 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. Orange County firefighters who do not comply with a vaccine mandate for county employees will not lose their jobs. That's the word from Mayor Jerry Demings, who said those who don't comply will only receive a written reprimand.
It was never my intention to terminate anyone from our employment. Instead, my desire and goal was to increase the rate of vaccinations amongst our employees, and we have accomplished that.
In fact, 84% of Orange County employees are now vaccinated.
We'll talk more about this here shortly, Alan.
This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. The CDC signed off on a third dose just before midnight. It's for those 65 and older, people 50 to 64 with underlying medical conditions, nursing home residents, and workers at high-risk jobs. Of course, when I say third dose, a third dose of the COVID vaccine manufactured by Pfizer. Governor Ron DeSantis, a strong supporter of monoclonal antibody treatments for COVID-19, says he has found a partial workaround for the White House's move to reduce Regeneron shipments coming to Florida. DeSantis has obtained 3,000 doses of a monoclonal from GlaxoSmithKline called Sotrovimab.
We may have to be making decisions soon about
How many of the sites can remain open? We're making decisions about how many doses each hospital is going
to
get.
DeSantis says the state will continue to fight federal efforts to cut the supply coming to Florida.
What was the name of that again?
Well, I actually mispronounced it.
I think you did a good job. I've never heard of it before. You could sell me.
It's Sotrovimab.
There you go.
Sotrovimab. Ask for it by name. Thousands of Haitian migrants are being allowed to stay in the U.S. as an overflowing camp on the border is being cleared out. Morgan Chesky reports.
The Department of Homeland Security announcing 1,400 migrants have been deported, and 3,200 are in Border Patrol custody. But still no details on how many migrants were released into the United States.
About 3,100 migrants were still in the camp at Del Rio, Texas yesterday, down from around 14,000 a week ago. Those who are staying are being flown to cities around the U.S. where they have family. Meanwhile, a group of Central Florida Haitians is heading to Texas to help the Haitian migrants. Among them is Orange County Commissioner Victoria Siplin, who says she will assist with translations. Her trip is being funded by the National Haitian American Elected Officials Network. And a Thursday night football victory was spoiled by injury for an undefeated team.
Sam Darnold gets it done on the ground.
Darnold takes it and is in for the touchdown. With a little bit of help from his friends.
Joe Buck on NFL Network. Darnold with his second rushing touchdown of the night. He would also have 304 passing yards as the Carolina Panthers go to 3-0 on the season with a 24-9 victory over the Houston Texans, who dropped to 1-2. But that Panthers win soured by some injury concerns as running back Christian McCaffrey exited Thursday's game with a hamstring issue, and first-round pick cornerback J.C. Horn suffered what appears to be a broken foot. Matt Napolitano, Fox News.
WFLA News Time is 8:05. Today is Code Red for Humanity Day. Find out what that means online at WFLAOrlando.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at WFLA Orlando. The third hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
News Radio WFLA Orlando is available everywhere with the iHeartRadio app. Now number one for podcasting. News Radio WFLA Orlando, an iHeartRadio station.
You can't handle the truth.
All right, I think I finally figured out how to say the name of this drug that Governor DeSantis is bringing to Florida. Sotrovimab. Sotrovimab.
All right. So when you ask for it by name, that's what you need to say.
Yeah, any of the three or four things that I've said in the past 5 minutes, just throw that out at the pharmacy and see how it works out for you.
How hard it was to learn hydroxychloroquine.
Ivermectin
and all of that stuff. Yeah. All right. There you go.
Is it for my reason?
Well, we asked the smartest audience in talk radio to comment on whether or not anybody agrees with our take on what's happened to Brian Laundrie.
No, your take.
I said, well, my take. He left without his wallet and his cell phone. And I think that meant he just had no plans and he was going to do himself in the swamp.
See, the flip phone that you have maybe is not trackable.
It's not. I love it. Anyway. I'm with Melissa. He's too narcissistic, like all women beaters, parenthetically, to kill himself. What else do you see? Let's go down the list, quick.
If I was going to disappear, I would have left my cell phone at home, too. I would have brought my wallet, or at least an ID, though.
He left his cell phone behind so they could not ping it for his location. I think that's a good point.
Yeah, cell phone is useless if he's going where the authorities can't want to find him. It will ping his whereabouts.
Yeah, cell phones and credit cards can be tracked.
Let's see. And one more. If he did himself in, he'd be floating by now.
I think we need to start a true crime podcast here.
Another one?
Why not? That's what the world needs.
Now, people earlier, we'd be remiss. We didn't say John Walsh is out there, you know, with his dirty laundry theories as well.
That's what he calls the family, the dirty laundries. Yeah. Couple of Orange County controversy. Deming's caving on the firing of these employees who were not vaxxed. And they're about to fire a sergeant in the sheriff's office here in Orange County for the way he arrested a convicted sex offender. Something doesn't smell right to me. We'll get to it.
After an update of Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando, it's 8:08.
Headlines on the COVID-19 pandemic worldwide. More than 230.6 million cases, more than 4.7 million deaths now. In the United States, more than 42.6 million cases, more than 684,000 deaths. In Florida, we've lost more than 52,000 people now. but we are seeing some trailing off on cases, fairly dramatic, which is a good thing to see. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories for you all morning on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, 107.7 HD3, AM 540, and the iHeart Radio app. This is News Radio WFLA Orlando.
The Mudman, Alan and the Fox with you till 9 o'clock. A couple of Orange County controversies here. Alan set the stage for us here. You heard from Orange County Mayor Jerry Demings, who had threatened discipline up to termination for any county employee, firefighters, and everybody who did not get vaccinated for COVID-19. And I said earlier in the week, will he ever dare to do such a thing? And immediately, Melissa, you replied,
oh, he's going to back out of this so much. No way. It's an idle threat. I was right.
He caved.
You can't do it. You cannot leave the communities of Orange County underprotected.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah. And of course, then by extension, if he wasn't going to risk having half the fire department, or they were really dug in on this thing, or unvaccinated, and they weren't going to do it, you can't have them fired. And so he said, well, okay, everybody gets a written reprimand. You know, now some of the firefighters are really angry about that because they think it'll hurt them for promotions later on. This is a soft slap on the back of the hand here. It really is. What does this amount to? And for all the other employees of Orange County, and there are thousands beyond the firefighters, they also are off the hook on risking job loss here. So the mayor really did fold on that. But he did get what he wanted by threatening that. Because all
minions,
of a sudden,
yeah,
we got a tremendous influx of people who were coming in to get the shots, to the point where he says 84% of all Orange County employees have gotten at least one dose of the vaccine, and that they'd had to have by the 30th of September. So he used the threat here. You're right. He absolutely folded.
Oh, he did. Yeah. You know, I was telling you earlier before the show, there was another person who said, just get the jab and keep your job. That was Harvey Weinstein. So hashtag me too.
There you go. What's the other controversy in Orange County? This is interesting. Channel 9 News is running with this. And I will share, I'll literally tell you what they are saying at Channel 9 Eyewitness News here. A sergeant with the Orange County Sheriff's Office could lose his job over a wrongful arrest after he said a convicted felon was carrying a concealed weapon. The Sheriff's Office has given notice it intends to fire, and this could happen today, Sergeant Keith Vidler for what it says was abuse of power. He's been 30 years in law enforcement. He's one of the guys who pulled people to safety during the Pulse nightclub massacre. An internal investigation, though, Channel 9 reports in the Sheriff's Office in Orange County, shows that during a traffic stop in March, and we're going to play a little of that in a moment, Vidler purposely targeted a registered sex offender by the name of Jeremy DeWitt. He has a history of arrests for impersonating an officer. And by the way, this was back in March, this controversy developed. He has just been sentenced, DeWitt has, to 18 months in prison.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, so he's a bad actor. Officials say the two men knew each other. Body camera footage released from the sheriff's office showed that they call each other by name. And in fact, they do. Initially, Vidler said he was pulling the convicted felon over for carrying a firearm. But it turned out, as Channel 9 reports, it was a pepper ball gun, not a lethal weapon, not a firearm. Here's some of how that went down.
Do not reach for that firearm. You hear me?
You know it's a pepper ball. Stop it, man.
All right, Jeremy, being arrested for carrying a concealed weapon.
Concealed? It was in plain view.
All right, and there you go. This is a registered sex offender who, by the way, is now going to prison, all right? And because it wasn't actually a firearm, that it was an improper arrest, an abuse of power, and they want to fire this guy? Seems extreme to me. I don't understand what's happening here. What do you think? 407-916-5400. Text line 23680. Something doesn't add up here. And from what I know, and this is about all I know, I don't see how you fire a veteran law enforcement officer. We need these guys, seems to me. This international headline for you, North Korea refusing to formally end the Korean War. That was their response after South Korea's president proposed it be declared over during the ongoing United Nations General Assembly. The three-year war ended in 1953 with an armistice, but not with a declaration of peace. North Korea's just not ready to quite give it up. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories here on Good Morning Orlando.
From News Radio WFLA Orlando, this is Good Morning Orlando with Bud Henninger, Alan Spector, and Melissa Fox.
Bud, didn't we settle that on MASH like years ago, the whole Korean thing?
Yes, yes. But I don't know whether they were picking that up in North Korea, you know?
Could be, yeah.
Not everybody watches MASH over there.
Can we send Alan Alda over there to negotiate something?
Yeah, it's weird. I was just thinking about him the other day. What is he, like 96, 97, still kicking out there?
I don't think he's that old, but he is still acting. He was on the final season of Ray Donovan.
Yep, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Well, anyway, these two controversies. What do you think of Mayor Deming's caving, as we predicted he would, on the threat to fire firefighters 85. And anybody in Orange County government who would not get vaccinated for COVID? Now it's going to be a written reprimand.
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, Bud, it's now really a fait accompli for Mayor Jerry Demings because he has gotten that vaccination rate up with at least 84%, according to the figures we're told, of county employees getting at least one shot at this point, with that threat that's been hanging over their head for the past month or two.
Yeah, but next time he makes a heavy-handed threat like this, though, he's, you know, they're going to say, well, he's bluffing. You know, look what happened before.
Well, I think it has to do with the chain of command. And I think both Ramsey and...
Oh, wait a minute. You're on to the other story
now.
Oh,
which one are we on now?
Talking about the mayor and the firefighters, and we're wrapping that up. And we're going back to the rest of the story. Sorry. About the sergeant in the Orange County Sheriff's Office, Sergeant Keith Vidler, 30 years in law enforcement here, and for the way in which he arrested a registered sex offender, Jeremy DeWitt, who since this, and this all happened in March, has been sentenced to 18 months in prison. This guy's repeatedly, among other things, been out impersonating police officers, which is considered a serious offense, and you can understand why it would be. And they apparently going to fire Vidler today. They got a GoFundMe page in support of him. And a sheriff's corporal, John Ramsey, has also been suspended in the same case here. It just seems so extreme to me. Further thoughts?
There's got to be something else. But
I know, I
think,
agree.
Bottom line, he probably went against the sheriff's orders. You know, like you said, the initial arrest and all that back then. Vidler's probably just trying to load on some more charges. I think both he and Ramsey are just kind of upset at the fact that this guy is still out on the street and still, in theory, impersonating cops. The potato gun, until you see the barrel and
it's not a potato gun.
Pepper gun.
It's
whatever.
A little more than a potato gun, as much as a 9mm.
Got it confused with Biden. Potato, yeah. It happens. Anyway, I don't know why they're trying to terminate Vidler, but there's probably a long list of reasons. Either way, it will help him in the future. Okay, because this is going to get drug out for a while, and no doubt state police, FBI, all over it. So I think he has definitely got some, repercussions that he's going to echo.
Does it sound to anybody beyond us that it's awfully extreme to charge him with abuse of power for arresting a guy for a firearm he shouldn't have had because of his criminal record, and it actually turns out to be a pepper ball gun, which is a non-lethal weapon here. And all of a sudden, wow, your 30-year law enforcement career is over? You know, I mean, I might go for the Demings approach, maybe some kind of a written reprimand. We need good cops. We don't need to be blowing them out the door for the way they arrested a convicted sex offender who's been out impersonating cops for years.
Yeah, arresting a guilty party. I mean,
what's going on? What is the missing piece of the puzzle, gang? 407-916-5400, text line 800-282-3680. Any thoughts on all of this?
Yeah, unwillingness to follow basic directions by the popo, things like that, little road rage, dressed like a cop, toxic cop codes. I mean, the guy's a liar, and he's kind of crazy. No wonder Elio's not leaving him alone.
Well, he's a registered sex offender.
Among other things.
Yeah, this guy, Jeremy DeWitt, and he's now in a slammer.
Good.
So I saw a video of him getting sentenced. He was in, you know, yesterday, 18 months. Steve weighs in. Fold or not, back to the Deming story, a written reprimand limits firefighters from being eligible for a promotion as well as for transfers. It also means on their personal record for their it stays on their personal record for their entire career. Why should an individual face any punishment because they decide to forego a medical procedure? You may not feel like it's a big deal because you think everyone should get the vaccine. Come on, Steve, get off my case, will you? But others are still having serious concerns about it and shouldn't be coerced with workplace punishments. But compared to termination, it is a mild slap on the back of the hand. I think Demings was in a box here, Alan. He was. He couldn't not possibly go through with ultimately canning half of the fire department because the people of Orange County across party lines would say, that's outrageous. Well, we're paying to be protected here.
Yeah, he faced an absolute dilemma because his goal in getting employees vaccinated is to protect the citizens of Orange County. But if it results in half of the firefighters deciding to quit and leaving the citizens of Orange County unprotected, then, it's all for naught.
Next half hour, we pry open the woke wacko file. You'll want to be here when we do.
That's easy for you to say.
I got it on the first try. I think I just better be quiet right now and let it turn it over to you, Alan.
An arrest warrant issued for Brian Laundrie and unruly airline passengers get attention on Capitol Hill. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together and elsewhere. In just 2 minutes, it's 8:28 on Good Morning Orlando.
Gabby Petito was murdered. That we know. As for her fiancé, there's a lot we still don't know. Here is Alan with your news, beginning with the latest we have.
Well, we know the search continues for Brian Laundrie. Now an arrest warrant is out after a federal grand jury indicted the missing fiancé of the late Gabby Petito. Gordon Bird has more.
The indictment accuses Laundrie of using a debit card and PIN numbers to steal about $1,000, presumably from his fiancée. Meantime, the search continues for Laundrie in a swampy area near his home in Northport. Governor Ron DeSantis told reporters he was touched by the community's support for Gabby Petito.
Most of these people never met her, probably, but you see how it's really impacted this community.
Meantime, a law firm's Tampa office is offering a $20,000 reward for information leading to Laundrie. Gordon Bird, News Radio WFLA Orlando.
More people and more hardware are joining in the search for Laundrie in Sarasota County. Northport Police Commander Joe Fassell says a total of 75 officers from 16 different agencies are now working in the Carlton Reserve.
We have some other agencies with new officers that haven't been here in the past week.
Laundrie's family says he went to the reserve to hike last week, and they haven't heard from him since. This news brought to you by Trusco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. A man is dead after being pulled from the Atlantic Ocean in Daytona Beach. Authorities say the 58-year-old man was pulled from the water yesterday morning near the Daytona Beach bandshell. He was taken to an area hospital where he later died. His name has not been released, but he is said to be from Daytona Beach. An election audit report in Arizona is due out today. It shows President Biden won in Phoenix and the surrounding county by more votes than originally tallied. There's growing concern in Congress about the increasing numbers of unruly passengers on airline flights. Washington State Congressman Rick Larson opened a House hearing and called some of the behavior disgusting and unacceptable.
These incidents have also put the safety of frontline workers, passengers, and the nation's aviation system at risk.
Many disruptions have involved the federal mandate on masks aboard planes.
FAA's been demanding Congress crack down on this, and I guess they're about the business of doing that.
Lots of college football in the Sunshine State tomorrow. 11th-ranked Florida hosting Tennessee. You can hear it on your Gator Nation station, News Radio, WFLA Orlando.
Yes, pregame 4, kickoff 7.
Also, FSU entertains Louisville. Miami hosts Central Connecticut, and South Florida visits BYU. UCF has the weekend off. WFLA News time is 8:34. Elsewhere... Are you hungry?
I'm hungry for those good things, baby. Hungry through and through. I'm hungry for that sweet life, baby, with a real fine girl like you. I can almost taste it, baby.
Uber Eats is adding a map feature so users can find restaurants that are close to them for pickup. The map lets the user type in what kind of food they're looking for using words or emojis to see what is close. Uber Eats said the feature was created from feedback from users who actually switched to other maps to look for nearby food. The company said their new pickup map includes 700,000 local restaurants and merchants.
Yes, you ever use Uber Eats?
Yeah, sure. And Postmates and all the other ones, DoorDash or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, most of them have a map, but it's just like food near you. You have to do a little bit of extra work, so I'm glad they're coming around with that.
You know, fall may have only just begun, but Christmas is ready to steal the spotlight from Halloween and Thanksgiving.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
The Hallmark Channel is out with its lineup of original holiday movie premieres. Both The Countdown to Christmas and Miracles of Christmas are stacked with new holiday movies featuring fan-favorite actors and actresses, including Lacey Chabert and Candace Cameron Bure. Hallmark fans can look forward to new titles like Boyfriends of Christmas Past, The Santa Stakeout, and You, Me, and Christmas Trees.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I know it's sappy and all of that stuff. My wife loves the Hallmark Channel and the Christmas movies, which, you know, there are times when they run them in the middle of the summer and can't stop watching them. It's crazy.
Mm. See how he deflects to his wife?
Yeah.
You like the Hallmark Channel. Just admit
it. No, I can't. I can't watch those because she's watching. I got to go to bed earlier than she does. I got to get up at 2 in the morning, you know.
Got to get my fill of Tom Terry.
She's probably at home still snoozing right now.
Mm. And finally,
what?
And finally, if you want your child rolling around like James Bond, you'll have to break the piggy bank wide open. The folks at the Little Car Company are making 125 Aston Martin DB5 Juniors.
Ooh.
They're about two-thirds the size of the car you see in the 007 movies, including the upcoming No Time to Die. It comes with the cool James Bond-style gadgets. The smoke screen, the oil slick, the changing license plate, and, of course, the headlight guns. All of Q's devices are controlled on a hidden panel within the passenger door. Can go pretty fast and does not have a roof, so bigger kids and adults can ride in it too and have fun. Price tag for the Aston Martin DB5 Junior, $123,000.
Ooh.
I got that.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I was, hanging in for the Matchbox version of that. I might be able to handle it.
Find more on these stories on the Good Morning Orlando page at WFLAOrlando.com and listen to the Elsewhere podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Just look for Elsewhere.
Elsewhere.
With Alan Spector.
Fantastic. Great fun stuff, Alan. In a moment, we pry open for the first time the Woke Wacko File. Find out, among other things, what the left-wing ACLU did to the late left-wing wacko in the United States Supreme Court, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and why they did it.
What's that file called again?
That's the Woke Wacko File, after we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. Good morning, Orlando. Headlining what may be the most disturbing story of the morning here, a poodle that was stuffed in a pillowcase and thrown into a dumpster is being nursed back to health now. Officials with the Orlando County Animal Services say that some good Samaritans yesterday witnessed two people put that dog in the dumpster, immediately sprang into action to rescue it. Anyone with information about the suspects should call Crime Line at 800-423-TIPS. 800-423-TIPS. Let's get them. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories for you right here in Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1. Still on FM 93.1. News Radio WFLA Orlando. And still on AM 540.
Yes, the Looney Left File, special division thereof. It's the Woke Wacko File. Kamala loves it. She's all excited. Maybe she won't be when we put the focus on a left-wing organization she loves for sure, the American Civil Liberties Union, being ripped, frankly, across party lines for what they did in the act of remembering the late Supreme Court Justice, fellow left-winger Ruth Bader Ginsburg, died last September. It's really crazy. And why they did it is even a little bit crazier. But Ruth Bader Ginsburg authored a famous quote during her confirmation hearings for the Supreme Court back in 1993 on the issue of abortion. And this is what she actually said before the ACLU decided to doctor it. Ginsburg: "The decision whether or not to bear a child is central to a woman's life, to her well-being and dignity. It is a decision she must make for herself. When government controls that decision for her, she is being treated as less than a fully adult human responsible for her own choices." Are you ready? On Twitter, here's the way it read after the ACLU literally erased women. "The decision whether or not to bear a child is central to a person's life, to their well-being and dignity. When the government controls that decision for people, they are being treated as less than a fully adult human responsible for their own choices." Cross party lines, ACLU being ripped. Why would they do such a thing, Melissa? Any idea?
Well, you know, we've got these transgendered folks out there who are sometimes confused. They make themselves into men, but they still have viable lady parts. I got nothing.
You are right. You're absolutely right. The ACLU removed the terms women and woman and her and altered the pronouns in an attempt to cater to transgender activists who claim that biological females who identify as male are men, and therefore men can get pregnant and have abortions. Opponents say only women can get pregnant and have children. So they erased women and all references to it.
Yeah,
is that nuts? That is
it is nuts. You know, there's a couple of songs out there that I'm going to have to fix the titles to. There's one, "I Kissed an Ovulator and I Liked It" by Katy Perry. What do you like? Jesse's "Fallopian Tubes" by Rick Springfield. And, of course, "Labias Just Want to Have Fun." That's a Cyndi Lauper tune that we all love.
You came ready for this one.
Oh, yeah.
It was good. Also in the Woke Wacko File, and it's kind of related here, has to do with this whole woke concept of pronouns, okay? We take you to Pittsburgh and Point Park University, their Office of Equity and Inclusion, all right? You know, it's the left-wing wackos who run the halls of academia. They have notified incoming students at this school of its misgendering, pronoun misuse, and dead-naming policy. This came in an email first obtained by our conservative friends at Campus Reform, who keep us up to date on what's going on with the lefties in the halls of academia. And it stated that any individual who has been informed of another person's gender identity, pronouns, or chosen name is expected to be respectful of that individual, and action could be taken against the students if a complaint is filed regarding that policy.
I'd just like to say, I went to that school.
Wait a minute. Did you? I know you went to, I didn't even know where it was. I had to look it up. It's in Pittsburgh.
It's right in downtown Pittsburgh.
Really?
Yes, I sure did.
No kidding.
I sure did. I just was looking to see because he was saying university. Yeah, I went to Point Park. I sure did.
There wasn't anybody ready to put the hammer down on you for how you use pronouns referencing females or males back in that day, did they?
Not at all.
Jesus.
Wow.
Point Park, your university is in the news.
Oh.
In our woke wacko file.
Wow, thanks. I didn't look at that one.
How about that? First time your school's been on our show, and I didn't even know.
That was one of the first radio stations I worked at in Pittsburgh, WPPJ.
Yeah, the Budman's taking care of you, Fox. We'll have an update on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic for a final time in a quick 2 minutes. Don't go away. There's more to come here on Good Morning Orlando. This headline, and it's brought to us by a listener who gave us a website update from our news partners, Fox 35, on the dog that was put in a pillowcase and put in the dumpster and then rescued. The update is, more details in a moment, that Griffin the poodle has died, succumbed to his injuries. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories here on Good Morning Orlando.
Hello, Sanford. Listen to us on FM 94.1. News Radio WFLA Orlando.
That update on the story that we brought you earlier is just, you know, within the last couple of hours while we've been on the air from Fox 35. I want to thank one of our texters who remained anonymous here for the website that connected us to the update. And this is what Fox 35 is reporting in further detail because we just have this now. And I know you're interested in it because we know you care about our four-legged friends as we do. A poodle that was dropped into a dumpster but later rescued and taken under the care of Poodle and Pooch Rescue of Florida has died. The poodle, named Griffin by rescue staff, succumbed to his injuries late on Thursday. The quote was, "It is with a heavy heart that we let you know that sweet Griffin has succumbed to his injuries. He passed away this evening after a valiant fight, and tonight is a difficult night for all of us." Good Samaritans had seen this done, and
what they saw
took
was
action.
Someone put the remains of a beaten to almost death dog in a bag or a pillowcase and then throw it out.
Those
people deserve the same punishment.
Well, yeah, and they're still trying to find him, Alan. It's an awful story, and we're all dog lovers. You too. We've had dogs. You have dachshunds.
Yeah.
You got a bulldog. I mean, and so many folks listening here, you know, they always respond when we talk about dogs, cats, and all.
If anybody knows anything about this crime, please call Crime Line 800-423-TIPS.
Yeah, they stepped up the abuse charges on animals a few years ago, and that made me very happy to see that these people be punished with.
You know, I'd like to know what the penalty might be for if they are able to get them, and I think they will get them here. That's a very interesting question that you raise here. Because sometimes it surprises us with sentences for various things that are either too light or seem too heavy-handed. What do you have on
intentionally
that,
Melissa? Torturing the animal, minimum mandatory $2,500 fine, psychological counseling or anger management treatment. Second conviction brings a minimum of $5,000 and jail time of 6 months. I don't know if that's enough.
Yeah, I'm in for jail time first time around for anything like this, you know. We'll see how it all plays out, but once
again, by the
way,
Steve from Apopka, thank you so much for sending us that information.
Was that Steve?
Yes.
Thank you for that. We really do appreciate it. You know, that's kind of what the concept we have of this show is all about, the 50,000-watt front porch. Back in the day, the front porch was where everybody gathered at the end of the day, before air conditioning, you know, to be cool and just to talk to the neighbors and talk about problems and situations and all of that. And this is the electronic version of that as I envisioned it years ago and named it the 50,000-watt front porch. And you are such an integral part of that. We're not like a lot of other shows where they just want you to listen and really don't invite you to be a part of what they do.
Guess we're celebrating. Just thought I popped the cork.
Celebrating what?
Nothing.
I'm not celebrating what happened to the dog. I'll
no,
tell you that.
I was celebrating the fact that we are the 50,000 watt front porch. Yeah.
Yeah, we are. And we're proud of it. And we're proud of our audience, too. The best audience in talk radio.
We got some football this weekend, boys and girls. Let's talk about that Florida
Gator
team.
We're the
Gator
Nation Station. Came close to knocking off number one Alabama. Nick Saban, I'm sure, can't quite believe how close we came. We're going to take a crack at Tennessee. Used to be an arch rivalry. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Late in September. It's not quite what it was. But we're going after him tomorrow. And the pregame runs 3 hours and is full of great stuff here on WFLA. Starts at 4 o'clock tomorrow. Then Mick Hubert calls the play-by-play. Gators against the Volunteers at 7 o'clock tomorrow night.
Yeah, the Vols now coached by former UCF coach Josh Heupel.
That'll be interesting.
I'm going to get you some.
That'll be interesting, won't it? See whether he has revived that program after bolting here from Orlando.
And if you're heading to the game, Mullen says they've figured out getting people in better and easier into Ben Hill Griffin Stadium. So, yeah, they figured it out. Because they had some problems getting folks in properly into the stadium, you know, with all the protocols and such.
Oh. Yeah, and, you know, elsewhere around the state, we've got several other games going on. We've got Florida State hosting Louisville. Ooh. Seminole still looking for victory number one.
Yeah, it's over there.
I wouldn't hold my breath.
No, Louisville's tough.
Yeah, and
Miami's got a cupcake.
Central Connecticut. Well, that's what FSU thought a couple of weeks ago when they played Jacksonville State.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
You're right on the issue of cupcakes.
Yeah, yeah. And UCF is off this week. They've got
They are. Uh-huh.
Now, what about the NFL teams? What do we got? We got the
Bucs. The game of the weekend is the Bucs against the Rams, both undefeated.
Right.
You know, they got Matthew Stafford, a quarterback from Detroit, who's still got a lot of game left in him.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, Tom Brady is off to the best start of any quarterback in terms of touchdown passes. And it's the highest scoring team in the league, the Tampa Bay Bucs. That's the big game. It's a late game in the afternoon.
Yeah, because it's at Los Angeles in that brand new SoFi Stadium.
Yeah.
Should be fun to watch.
That is pretty awesome. By the way, thanks to Ann Schockett. She is the president of the National Federation of Republican Women. They're holding a massive convention of more than 1,000 top Republican political leaders with a great lineup of speakers. And by the way, Governor DeSantis and the First Lady Casey, who will be holding a fireside chat to kick this thing off this evening down at the JW Marriott Hotel. She was on here and was terrific. Talked about a lot of issues, not only about the convention, you know, but also about what Republican women are doing to drive this party toward victory in the 2022 midterms and beyond, and some of the key issues involved with women. Ann was just absolutely terrific. And I guess they really liked the interview because they asked for a copy, and you favored them with that and sent them what we all talked about.
Yeah, sure did. Hook that up. I had a half a minute during the show when I wasn't pushing eight other buttons at the same time, and I said, sent it off to them already. For more information, by the way, on the, what is it, landing leaders? What is it called? It's something that's spacing leaders.
Ooh, I don't have that in front of me anymore.
Oh, my God.
Don't do that to me, and we're out of time for it anyway.
Go to nfrw.org for more information.
Including whatever the name of it is.
There you go.
It's launching leaders.
Launching leaders.
Yay! It has the space.
Go to WFLAOrlando.com. All kinds of cool stuff. You can win a Rhine River cruise. Our podcasts are there. Alan's Elsewhere podcasts are there. There's no place like it. It's WFLAOrlando.com. Have a great weekend. We got the weather we've been waiting for 6 months. Go out and make the best of it. For Alan and Melissa, the Budman, thanks for joining us on Good Morning Orlando. Have a great weekend. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless America.
Hey, guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.